Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with a Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen, producer James Platy on the board. So check this out. This is Pat Robertson, the well-known televangelist. He hosts the 700 Club program on his very own Christian Broadcasting Network with millions of loyal viewers. And here's Mr. Robertson on his show from December of 2010.
Puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences. I'm not exactly for the use of drugs, don't get me wrong, but I just believe that criminalizing marijuana is costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prison, they come out as hardened criminals.
And that is Pat Robertson. He's long held conservative family values. He made big news today by making it official, telling the New York Times that it is time to legalize marijuana in the United States. Someone that fully agrees with him is Neil Franklin, a retired Maryland State Police major and now the executive director of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a group of current and former law enforcement officials who oppose the drug war. Neil, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Hey, Michael, thanks for having me on.
So tell me this. As a law enforcement officer, when did you become opposed to arresting and prosecuting offenders for marijuana possession?
Well, I did my 180 about 11 years ago. At least that was the beginning of it, when Ed Totley, who was an undercover agent for the Maryland State Police, a good friend of mine, he was shot and killed while working with the FBI in Washington, D.C., making an undercover drug buy.
Now, so, I see. And basically, that led you to rethink the general approach we have towards marijuana. Well, tell me, what about the local and national drug and law enforcement agencies that receive significant funding as part of the war on drugs? I mean, isn't there going to be an enormous amount of resistance from them to change our policy on marijuana?
Well, it's not going to be. It has been in the past. And rightly so, there's a lot of money flowing from the federal government to local law enforcement in the form of various grants. And we also have our asset forfeiture policies throughout the country on a state level and federal level. And we're talking billions of dollars.
So in a sense, the structure is there to avoid or to fight this. Is there any change in law enforcement officers in terms of their view on the topic?
Well, actually, our organization is making a lot of headway here. You know, it's about getting the facts and figures and the scientific data to the law enforcement community and letting them know what has happened over the past 40 years when we thought that we would be able to keep drugs out of our neighborhoods, and we know that that's not possible. So it's a matter of getting that data and education to them so that they see we got more drugs coming into our country than ever before. We're locking up more people than ever before. We can't afford it financially. We can't afford the loss of human capital. And now this data is available. I think we're starting to see many more law enforcement professionals, especially the men and women on the streets, beginning to take a closer look at this and mandate some changes here.
Well, Pat Robertson is talking about marijuana, but what is your view? Should use and possession of all drugs be decriminalized?
Yeah, that's not just my view. It's also the view of our organization, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. See, we know that drug use, and just like Pat Robertson, we don't promote the use of any drugs, including marijuana, but we know that drug use, legal drugs and illegal drugs, are potentially harmful. But it is the policy of prohibition, like back in the 1920s, that has really compounded the issue with prison and violent communities and homicides. And the mayhem that we have in Central America is just a travesty right now. So, yeah, for any drug, we feel that there's another way to for us to figure out how to live with these drugs and approach it from a health and educational perspective.
Aren't you concerned, though, that we would see a huge increase in the recreational use of drugs throughout the country if we were to follow this kind of a legalization approach?
No, I'm not, because I look to Portugal and what they've done in decriminalizing possession of all drugs in their country. So over the past 10 years, they've experienced with their teenage high school group a 20 to 25% reduction in overall drug use among that age population. And it has been a slight uptick for the adult population, but personally, I believe that's because now people in Portugal don't feel the need to hide in the shadows anymore, you know, regarding what they choose to use. So there's a country that has taken some steps, and they're having some great results, in addition to their overdose death rate was decreased by 52%.
When it comes to your group, LEAP, how do members who are currently working in law enforcement approach this issue? Do they basically avoid arresting those in possession of marijuana?
Well, they're realizing a couple of things out there in the streets. Number one, that arresting people for marijuana possession is a worthless cause. It takes them off the streets for hours at a time to deal with a crime of what we consider a victimless crime, when we could be spending so much more time combating violent crime, rape, robberies, homicides, child abuse, domestic violence. And you know how many missing children we have in this country, and we don't have the manpower and resources to look for those kids? So they would prefer to do that type of work instead of trying to be someone's mother and father and telling them what's harmful if they put it in their bodies.
And do you think there is a specific targeting of African Americans as part of the war on drugs?
Well, absolutely. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, all you have to do is look at New York City. New York State has had a marijuana decriminalization bill or law on the books since the 1970s. So it's only illegal criminally if you openly display or burn it. However, New York City has made over 50,000 arrests in 2010 and 2011, and most of those arrests, 86%, are black and Latino.
One more thing. We're seeing states moving to allow medical marijuana, maybe even legalize marijuana. What will it take, do you think, for the federal government to budge on its position?
Well, it's going to take exactly what's happening now. Recent polls are showing that more Americans believe that marijuana should be made legal. It's going to take the pressure from Central America, like we're seeing now from President Molina and Chinchilla in Central America. You also have President Calderon of Mexico. He's beginning to sing a different tune now. And I believe a couple years ago, Obama said, well, you're going to have to convince us and make us change our policies. And that's what we're going to do from the grassroots level. And I want to say one thing real quick here about Pat Robinson. You know, here's a prime example of somebody who is seeing this from a different perspective now. And, you know, when you really look at this, for years we thought that using these drugs and we thought that it was immoral, so that's why we made these laws of prohibition. But when you really look at the laws that we made and the policies that we currently have in place, it is the policies that are, in fact, immoral for putting people in prison for nonviolent crimes, such as what they choose to use or put in their bodies.
Neil Franklin, Executive Director of the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition Group. Neil, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 W.